Where would we be without the cross? Lost, headed to hell, where we'd be. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 12 this morning. Acts chapter 12. When you get there, y'all stand, please. All right, Acts chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and unto the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was slightly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for allowing us this time to come together. Father, I thank you for each one that is gathered here in this place this morning. And Lord, we're here to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that everything that we say and do this morning glorifies you. Father, now as I break the bread of life, give me the words to say. Preach with boldness and authority your truth. And Father, just let me remember those things to say, and let me remember those things I studied, Lord, to bring to your people. And Lord, just let this message speak to hearts this morning. And Lord, if there's one here that knows you not, of course our first desire and prayer is that they'll be saved before it's too late. But Lord, may your word this morning comfort us, your children. And Lord, may it edify us and build us up in the body of Christ. Pray for the sick and the afflicted, those it's our duty to pray for. Have your way in the service. We love you, we praise you, we thank you for our salvation and the assurance through the precious blood of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. For it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. Be seated, please. I don't know about you, but I am thankful for the privilege and honor of being able to go to God's throne of grace and mercy and pray anytime I want to. I can come into his presence and pray, bring my petitions before him, and there's nothing any greater. There's not a better privilege than being able to go to God's throne. Amen? And I take great confidence as a child of God in knowing that I can approach his throne because he tells me in Jeremiah, if I will call upon him, he'll be sure to answer me. Amen? And there's nothing greater for a child of God than when he can get alone with God in that little secret place and pray and watch God move through his power in our lives because of those prayers and petitions we've offered before. And I want to encourage you individually as a believer, continue to pray. But I also want to speak this morning to the church. Because we also, as a body, are to pray. And every time, and what we just read here is a perfect example, every time the church comes together and they are unified for the glory of God, listen to me, something is going to happen. Every time. And that's what I want to speak to you about. Something happens when God's people prays. Amen? It happens. And if ever was a time the church needs to be praying, it's now, isn't it? It's now. So I pray everybody that's here this morning is unified. And we're here in one accord. One to worship and honor and glorify the Father, but also we're unified to pray for this church and for our country and for certain ones within this body. Amen? So with that said, it was a time of problems. You see, Herod the king had James, the brother of John, I'll wake up here in a minute, had him killed for the gospel. Now he's got Peter in prison. And by the way, y'all, he was sitting on death row himself. You say, well, preacher, why did he arrest them? Well, because the Bible says it pleased the Jews. You see, understand, they hated the gospel. They hated Jesus Christ. They hated the early church, and they were out to stop it. But listen to me. Who do you think used Herod and the Jews? It was the devil that did it. You see, we all have an enemy in common, and he's still out there today trying to get the church to shut up about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't serve him. Don't bow to the master. Stop serving God. And the devil is still using the same tools. He's still using the same thing, trying to get us to hush. Now understand the early church. They were infants, if you will, in the faith. And they see the leaders of the church being arrested. Don't you think they were kind of in a fear for their lives? Sure they were. Absolutely. They were. You see, they kind of figured, they were pretty smart, kind of figured that, if they're going to arrest the leaders down the line, they're going to arrest us. So they were kind of afraid of that. But let me just tell you this morning that even though the devil's out today to stop the church, and he knows exactly what tool to use, you see, if he can cause us to be divided, fussing and fighting, if he can cause us to get so discouraged and so afraid that we just stop coming to church and serving God, then he's won. And don't think for a second he's not doing it today. How do I know? Look around. There's a lot of churches already closed the doors. They ain't opened the doors since they got the coronavirus scare, have they? They're still closed in some areas. Praise God, we're open. I'll go ahead and say it. I don't know for how long. But we're going to preach God's word. And let me tell you about the only churches that are really prospering today. And I'll get in trouble. I stay in trouble. The only churches today that are growing by numbers, leaps and bounds, are those that have become worldly, trying to attract the world. When it comes to good, sound, fundamental, you preach the word of God, you preach Jesus Christ and the cross, those are the churches that are hardly growing at all. In fact, more of them are closing today than ever. Isn't that sad? Listen, if you belong to a fundamental, historical Baptist church, you are to thank God. Amen. I'll never hold my head down because I'm a Baptist. Amen. Amen? Never. You know what I always tell people what I'd be if I wasn't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed. Amen? We have the Word of God. He has blessed us. I believe that it's the closest to what Jesus taught. Now notice what it says. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four. Say that word for me. Thank you. Of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Why? To kill him. To kill him. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. I've often thought, you know, we give Peter a hard time. You know, sometimes he could be pretty brash. And all. This is one of those times that he's in prison, he's guarded, and I want to tell you, the prisons back then aren't like those today, where you can get you a college degree, you can watch TV, play pool, join a sports league, you can do all of that kind of stuff today. Back then it wasn't that way. But there's a word I want you to look at. You're going to be very proud of me because, you know, English was not exactly my best subject when I was in school. In fact, it was my worst subject. And when I was getting my degree, I had to take two courses of college English. I told my wife, well, I guess this is going to be it because I cannot pass that. And, you know, my little wife's a pretty good teacher. I'll be the first to tell you, she helped me immensely. And there's a little word in verse 5 I want you to look at. And that little word is this. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But what does that next word, what is it? But, B-U-T. You know what that word is? It is a conjunction. You'd be proud. I learned something. It's a conjunction word. But notice that little word. But even though the church was being persecuted against, there was hope. Even though Peter was in prison, but even though seemed like everything was falling to pieces, but there's always a God in heaven that hears us as a church body that's unified to pray, He will answer prayer. Seen it so many times. Don't you like that little word, that little conjunction word? I do. But prayer, did you get that? But prayer was made without ceasing. And that word ceasing literally means to be stretched out. Kind of like you stretch a ligament or a muscle. And basically, it means to be brought forth without ceasing. And by the way, the Bible tells us we're to pray without ceasing. But the word ceasing means we're to pray in fervency. You see, James said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does that effectual fervency mean? What does it mean, preacher? It means you pray in urgency with your heart. You see, it's none of this, oh, by the way, Lord, if you're up to it, you pray, oh, Lord. No, you fervently seek God from the heart. And the church there was praying. And who were they praying for? Peter. Now, don't get me wrong. We have prayer requests here at Lone Mountain. And we're to make our petitions known and we're to pray for them. But this prayer meeting was there for one reason and one reason only. They held it there to pray for Peter. And beloved, they came together and they touched heaven for Peter because they knew he was one of them that needed their prayers. Now often we pray for one another. And we're supposed to. The Bible tells us we're supposed to. But I often wonder, when we pray, do we pray for individuals? We tell people we do, but do we? You see, I want you to understand that just as that church met to pray for Peter, we at Lone Mountain are to be praying for our brothers and sisters that are here. There's brothers and sisters that have illnesses that we need to lift up to the throne of God. There's brothers and sisters that are wayward, they're backslid. We need to be praying for them and lifting them up before God's throne now. There's brothers and sisters that are laid off, that don't have a job, that are facing all kinds of evictions and whatnot. They need our prayers. Are we praying for them? Are we calling them by name? You say, well, preacher, I can't think of anybody. Really? You know how it works? The Lord, I'm speaking by experience and for myself, but I know I can't be the only one. But the Lord will put a face in my mind, or He'll put a name in my mind and heart, and when He does, you know what? That tells me I'm supposed to pray for them. I don't know what they're facing. Don't know what they're going through, but God wants me to pray for them. And He doesn't want me to say, well, Lord, I'll get to it when I have my prayers tonight before I go to bed. No, He wants you to pray for them right then. So, beloved, we have a responsibility. You see, they were there to pray for Peter. And we should be there praying for one another. Amen? Now, notice with me. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door. So we see that it was a time of problems. Herod and the Jews were persecuting the early church and God's ministers, His leaders. And then it was a time of prayer, and the church met at Mary's house to pray for Peter. Now, jump down. We've heard about him being released. And by the way, that's supernatural, isn't it? Let me ask you a question. You believe God has the power to do anything he wants to?
Amen.
You think God still performs miracles? Notice God does. Didn't say I can perform a miracle. But you and I are living testimonies to miracles because he saved us.
Amen.
Amen. He saved us. But they come together to pray. It was a time of prayer. Now, notice with me, and it says, the angel delivered him out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is his angel. Now, why were they there? They were there to pray for Peter. And they were praying to God. But notice, when God answers prayer, they don't believe it. So, number one, all of us should be mindful that when we go before God's throne of grace, we have to go praying in faith. What does the Bible say in Hebrews 11? For without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe he is and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, notice with me, Peter's delivered by God's power. Let's put it that way. He's miraculously set free. And I believe with all my heart the Spirit's sending him to Mary's house for the prayer meetings going on. Here comes Rhoda. She hears him knocking. She sees him. I don't understand. You know, God can deliver him out of a prison, but he can't get into a prayer meeting. Something's wrong. Amen? Something's wrong. She doesn't let him in, so she goes and tells the body, hey, Peter is at the gate. You're crazy. Now, what were they praying for to begin with? Where was their faith? But before we throw rocks at them, we're the same way, aren't we? We go before the Lord. We know we're supposed to go before the Lord. We're supposed to pray. But we pray, and we don't have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. You see, Jesus said that when we pray, if we will believe, it shall. Not might or could. It shall be done. Kind of reminds me of, remember the man that came with the son that was possessed by the demon that would throw himself in the fire, roll back and forth. And at first he went to the disciples and they couldn't do a thing for him. Took Jesus. And do you remember what the man said to him? The man said to Jesus, I believe you have the power to do it. And I'm paraphrasing. But Lord, I need a little help with my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And Jesus said, hey, if you believe, all things are possible. And beloved, when it comes to prayer, you got to have faith. Listen, it's the difference in a prayer being answered and unanswered. You gotta have faith. Do you have it this morning? Now, notice. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Why would they be astonished? God moves on the behalf of his church. But they were astonished. They couldn't believe it. And by the way, you know, when Rhoda went back and said it was Peter, remember they said, no, it's his angel. You see, the Jews back then thought that everyone had a guardian angel. And those guardian angels were able to take the form of that person that they were guarding. My poor guardian angel. I feel sorry for him. Especially when he rides with me sometimes. Amen? Folks, God does give his angels charge over us. And I'm not making light. But they strictly believed that it was an angel. No, it was Peter in the flesh. And they prayed to God the Father to hear them. And he did. And he moved because of the church. And delivered Peter out of that prison. Now, notice with me. But he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace and declared them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So, here is answered prayer. I'm here. I'm answering. I'm here to show you that God answers your prayers. I'm here. Now you need to tell others. Now understand, when God answers a prayer, what does it do for me and you? When he answers a prayer for us or as a church, what does it do? Well, one, it increases our faith. Also, it also shows us that we belong to the Lord. We have a relationship with the Lord. And we're encouraged to keep on serving the Lord, right? So, as a church, we should never be ashamed as the body of Christ to come together in unity and in one accord to lay our petitions before God. Listen, this coronavirus, we have been blessed here. We hadn't had anybody. I mean, I know Sister Diane had to be quarantined, but she didn't have it, thank the Lord. I don't know anybody else personally that has it. I hear on the TV how there's thousands everywhere that have it. But I'm thankful that my family doesn't have it and my church family doesn't have it. But I'm here to tell you, we as a body need to continue to pray that the Lord would protect us from that virus. We as a body need to pray that the Lord will protect His church because, folks, get ready, the devil is coming after us. He already is. Get ready. So we need to believe God. We need to have faith. We need to be in unity. And again, let me just say this. It is vital that you and I don't argue, fuss, and fight. And be bitter with one another. Because when you do that, the Lord isn't going to hear your prayer. So as a body, we need to be in agreement. And we need to get along. Amen? And by the way, I'll get in trouble, but most of the bickering that goes on in the Lord's house doesn't amount to a hill of beans anyways. It's over something simple, and it's over something I'll get in trouble. Stupid! I said it, stupid. Well, preacher, I don't like the color of the paper towel racks. I'm mad because we put those in. Please, get a life. Well, I don't like the stationery. Get a life. We're going to fuss, fight, and argue over that. Something so trivial. Something that don't amount to nothing. But you'd be surprised I've seen church split for a lot less. I know one church that split, and I am not kidding, over the paint that was going into the fellowship hall, the color of it. Split like you wouldn't believe. What a shame. God help us. Now, as you break down these verses, it's a time of problems. The church was being persecuted. There was a time of prayer. The church came together. When there is a problem, we as the church need to come together to pray. But we have to have faith. Amen. And then there's a time of power. You see, God proved His sovereign power to the church. In one, by delivering Peter out of prison. That was answered prayer. But also, jump down to verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat up upon his throne and made an oration unto them. In other words, he sat on the throne and spoke to them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." Notice verse 23. Immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. You see, God showed the church His sovereignty and His power, showing them, teaching them the lesson that, hey, I am in control. It's my church, and I'll take care of it. Don't worry about your enemies. And let me say that to you, Lone Mountain, this morning. We don't have to worry about our enemies. We are blood-bought. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His church, and He's going to take care of us and deliver us from our enemies. Amen. Herod sitting there on the throne, and the people just going goo-goo gaga over him. Oh, he speaks like he's a god. And God said, no, 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 no. That's a line you crossed, and the Bible says he died a horrible death. Even the worms began. Can you imagine? Right before their eyes. Why? Because he gave not God the glory. I wish God's people would learn the same lesson and have the same mindset that David had when he faced Goliath. Remember what David said? He said, hey, battle's the Lord's. It always has been. It always will be. Listen, we just need to step back and let God handle our enemies. There's a lot of enemies out there. Society doesn't want nothing to do with God or His church. They despise His word. They despise the cross. They despise you and me, beloved. But listen to me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So just take care of what God's called us to do, and that's to be a light in this dark world with the gospel and share it with everyone we have the opportunity to share it with. Let God handle the rest. It'll be okay. And let me just throw this in. Not so much now because of the virus, but a lot of churches seem to base they're a good church by the numbers they put on a board. I want you to understand something. If being a good church was based on the numbers, then we're in trouble. If there's any ministry we're doing, if it's based on numbers and what's happening, we're in trouble. And let me just say something about a ministry. If you've ever studied the prophets, you understand Jeremiah, God called him to be a prophet. He had a ministry. And you know how many converts Jeremiah had? Zero. Now, if you base success on that, he wasn't very successful, was he? If you base a ministry or the church on how many numbers, then folks, you're basing it on the wrong thing. The lesson that God's trying to show his church is this. We handle what he's called us to do. He handles the rest for us. Just do what he's called you to do in service. Amen? And let me say something, and I'll shut up in a minute. Let me say this too. When it comes to prayer, we know we got to be in unity and one accord. And we also have to have faith. And our faith, just like those that met to pray for Peter, they prayed in faith. They rang the bell of heaven for Peter. But when it came down to it, where was their faith? I'm thankful that I haven't been called to have just great faith constantly, because if that was the case, I'd be in trouble. Because some days I esteem here, I got faith where I could chase hell with a squirt gun. There's other days, oh my Lord, Lord, help me. But listen, I'm not called, and you're not called to have just the greatest faith on earth. But we are all called, get this, if you don't get nothing else, we're all called to exercise faith. Amen. Whether it's big or it's little, we're all called to exercise it. And folks, we need to come together in one accord and exercise the faith that we have, so that God hears our prayers and he's going to answer them. Amen? So, if we're going to pray, let's be right with each other as a body. If we're going to pray, pray individually for the needs of the body. We like to blanket everybody. And there's nothing wrong with that. We do that in prayer requests. But there are those in the body that need us to pray for. Let's pray. We need to pray to the only one that can help us. That's God. That's not a statue somewhere that we bow before. We pray to God. And as I said, God answers prayer. Amen? Something always happens when God's people pray. So let's pray. And let's see what happens. Amen? Maybe you're here. You say, seems like, preacher, I pray all the time, but I never get an answer. Well, it'd be a couple things. First and foremost, if you don't have a personal relationship with the Savior, he's not going to hear but one prayer from you. And that is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Just a prayer of salvation is the only prayer he's going to answer for you until you're saved and you have that personal relationship. Two, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. If you have sin in your life, if you've wandered from serving God and your walk with Christ, listen to me, he won't hear you either until you repent of that sin and confess it. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Three, maybe you're praying amiss. You say, what does that mean? That means you're praying for the wrong things. And the reason he hasn't answered is he's wanting you to come around to say, oh, wait, I need to take self out of the way and my wants, my desires, and I need to prioritize and put it among the things that would honor and glorify him. You see, there's reasons our prayers are hindered. But I can assure you, the Father answers prayer. And especially when it comes to his church. The early church is a fact. You realize what God did? He showed his sovereignty. He protected them from their enemies. And they were able to get the gospel out into the world. Even though the devil tried his best to hinder the church, guess what? The gospel got out to the world. And it was amazing what God did. You know, it said that the people there praying for Peter were astonished. They were amazed. It would amaze us what God would do if we just get right and pray right. So I don't know what you need this morning. That's what God laid on my heart this week. As a church, we got to pray. And I tell you, when we're right with the Lord, something always happens when we pray. Amen? Always happens. Would you stand with me and bow your head?